scripture reading for today is from Psalm 51, verse 10 through 13. And I just want you to listen carefully as I read from Psalm 51, verse 10 through 13. And it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." And we can stop right there and just say, man, that's enough in itself. But we're going to go on. It says, "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Again, we could stop there and just say, man, that's great. But this is a part I love in 12 and 13. It adds to it. It says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." That means you had it at one time, and it's saying, restore to me the joy of your salvation. We knew it at one time, and so many times that disappears from us. And we want that renewed in us and restored to us. "And it uphold me by your generous spirit." Why? Why? "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." Man, the principles of our Christian faith right there. The principles of our Christian faith right there. "Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you." And that is one of our great goals as Christians and Christ followers. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. As I was preparing for this, actually over the last couple months, making all things new, it just is amazing. And I thought I could go to some very familiar scriptures, but I didn't want to. And we talked a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we talked about walking in the newness of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And then last week we talked about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And this week He makes all things new by the power of the cross. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 10. That's where we'll start today. And we'll be in probably about 4 or 5 different scriptures to get this point across and to make sure we understand the power of the cross and what it holds for us as Christians, as believers, as non-believers. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. We're going to go towards the end. And if you don't attend, as you're turning there to Matthew 10, if you don't attend our Wednesday night Bible study, I would encourage you to do that. I would encourage you to do that. Just for the record, Eric's leading that now. I'm not, in case you said, I didn't want to go when Adam was doing it. Eric's doing that now. But we're talking about many great things. Eric is a fantastic teacher, and we're talking about many great things. And we talked last week kind of about confessing Christ. And so this just ties along with what we're reading today. And it says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." And we talked last Wednesday about believing in Jesus Christ. We've accepted Christ, we believe in Him. And then one of our young people said, Eric was relating that message, and said, one of our young people said, "I don't know that I've ever confessed Him." It says to confess with our mouth. Confess me before men. And then He will confess us before His Father, before the Father. So it's important that not just believing, that's a great starting point. I believe in Jesus Christ. You are at the starting point of your Christian walk. Unfortunately, that's where many people leave their Christian walk. They leave it right there at the believing stage and think, I've got enough information to know I'm going to heaven and I'm done. That's not it. Right after that, it talks about Jesus Christ bringing division. And it talks about people leaving each other and families being separated. And in verse 38 of Matthew chapter 10, it says, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." young people, you cannot take the cross of your parents and come after Him. It is up to you to pick up your cross and follow after Him. Old people, myself included, we cannot pick up the faith or the cross of our children, likewise, and carry that. We must pick up our own cross. He who does not take up his cross, and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Many of us lose our life, but we lose it for many other things. We lose it for money. We lose it for alcohol. We lose it for drugs. We lose it for sex. We lose it for relationships. We lose it for business. We lose it for all kinds of things. But this says, he who loses his life for my sake will find it. That must be pretty important. That's Jesus speaking there. Well, let's flip over to Matthew chapter 16 and see what else Jesus has to say about picking up your cross and carrying it. As you're turning to Matthew 16, yesterday I was telling the worship group this morning that I picked up this cross behind Ground Zero and I drug it all the way over out behind the church over here. And it wasn't 5 minutes later, Mark called me and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, actually, I'm fixing this cross that was behind Ground Zero, and I drug it over to the church." Of course, I was out of breath as I was telling him this, but he said, "What, are you carrying it down the street?" And I thought, he just drove past, and he must have seen me lugging this thing through the parking lot, because the timing was unbelievable within 5 minutes of me setting that thing down that he called to ask if I was carrying it down the street. And I thought, that short distance I carried it, what Jesus must have gone through, I'm sure his cross was probably bigger and heavier than that. And I know his burden certainly was bigger and heavier than any burden I'll ever carry. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus speaking to his disciples again. And this was just after he's predicting his death and resurrection. And he says, "I've got to do this." And then old Peter spoke up in verse 23. And he said, or 22 and 23, and he said, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." And Jesus turned to Peter and he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." So then in verse 24 again, we have it. And it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." And remember, a couple weeks ago, we spoke about sin that has a hold on us. And it says, should we remain in sin and that his grace remains? Said, no, we are no longer captive to our sin. He says, we have to deny ourselves. In 2015, we talked about making the New Year's resolutions. I said, add a spiritual value to that if you can. Because the other ones about ourselves, they're too easy to try and do or too easy to forget. But if you had that spiritual value, you could say, "Jesus, I need your strength to do this, and I want to do it to glorify you in this manner. I want to get a better job and make more money." Great! Don't do it for selfish ambition. God, I want to be able to do things for the kingdom. I want to be able to be a better giver to you. Deny yourself. Says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward, listen to that, he will reward each according to his works. It is important enough that Jesus Christ repeated that message. Anyone who desires to come after me must pick up his cross. You've got to deny yourself and pick up your cross. We talked quite some time ago, and I mentioned the ambitions we have a lot of times with our exercise equipment. And I said, maybe the cross you've picked up is in your closet now, and it's that exercise equipment that holds clothing. And in essence, you've taken your cross and you put it in the closet, and it's now holding all kinds of clothing on it. Same thing happens. We have great ideas. The starting place, we believed in Him. That's the starting point. We believed in Him. We picked up our cross wherever we got it from, at church, at youth camp, at Falls Creek, wherever, in our bedroom by ourselves. And we picked it up. But somewhere along the way, many of us have set it down. I told a story several weeks back about losing my cross that my father gave me. And I said, it's no big deal in the sense that it doesn't help me preach any better or worse, I hope. But it meant something special to me, and I couldn't find it. And I just needed that help of someone else, my wife, looking in the right place and finding it. I just didn't look close enough. And I think the story is still the same here as we talk about Him making all things new. We can look at ourselves in the mirror all day long, and we just don't see it. Believe me, every day when I looked in the mirror, I didn't see any hairs falling out of this head. But it happened. Despite the fact that I didn't see it happen, it happened. And we become people that we can't see sometimes. And sometimes it takes other people to point that out. I don't need anyone pointing this out. I know it. I get it now. But we need people sometimes to say, hey, when you look in the mirror, it's not that same person. It's important enough that Jesus Christ repeated this story to say, you've got to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. This is a game changer, folks. Belief and faith, the starting point, that's great. But picking up your cross, man, that's where the rubber meets the road. When you pick it up and you carry it, it's kind of funny because I was in the shower this morning and I thought, what's that hurt? The cross. It hurts sometimes. And let me tell you, it hurts when you're out of shape. Okay? And I mean that physically and spiritually. To pick that cross back up when you're out of shape, out of spiritual shape, it hurts. And it leaves a mark. No pain, no gain, right? There's something to that. I don't like it in the gym, for sure. But there's something to that. And then all those shirts that say, His pain is our gain. Well, amen to that. But until we understand that price paid. I remember when I bought this wood, speaking of price paid. And Pastor Jack said, you want to do what? I said, I want to go buy two big pieces of wood. And I want to make a cross. Well, we got some crosses at church. I said, I know. I need it to be substantial, Jack. I said, the cost is going to be worth it. The cost is going to be worth it. That cost spent will not go in vain. I want us to remember that at the end of the service today, as we talk about the price paid. That the cost that Jesus Christ paid on this cross, on the cross, we can't let Him pay that price in vain. We have to know that that price paid will be used. It will be used, as we read in the Psalms, to tell transgressors and sinners about it so that they can overcome and they can be new creations in Christ Jesus. Amen? The cross is a game changer. No matter what you're going through, and we just keep mentioning a barrage of things, and I just try and think, what bogs down people today? It's finances. It's love. It's relationships. It's loss of relationships. It's anger. It's frustration. It's health. With all this technology, why can't they have an answer to my health issues? It's past sin that's stuck on us. It's bitterness. It's unforgiveness. It's life has dealt me this blow. My parents did this to me. My children did this to me. we have to deny ourselves. And that includes the pain that we're going through. We have to deny ourselves in that. Turn over to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Adam, that sounds pretty easy. You don't know my past, and I don't know all your past. But what I'm telling you, there's no magic potion here, but what I'm telling you is He makes all things new. And He does that through the power of the cross in ways we can't understand. His whole word is about that. We can't understand it. How can this happen? He was crucified, dead and buried. But on the third day, He rose. Explain that to me. I can't. That's the power of Jesus Christ. And it's that same power that transforms us no matter where we are. It's that same exact power, as we talked about last week, that transforms us whatever we're in. We heard testimonies on Wednesday night about where people were, and then their discovery of Jesus Christ. Discovery is the beginning. Belief is the beginning. But there's a whole life that comes after that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. And it says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words." Listen carefully. "Lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." And he's talking about, I didn't come to baptize here and here. I came to do this, and I came to preach. I don't want big fancy words, because I don't want the cross of Christ to be made of no effect. I want that to do the work. And that's why I ask our young men to drag this in today. Because this is what causes the change and the transformation. Not anyone here speaking. What we're doing is drawing you to the truth in God's Word. There's no book of Adam in here. There's no book of Eric. Book of Helen. Book of Jeff Johnson. They're not in here. This is God's Word we're preaching and bringing truth to you through His Word. And that's what he's saying. I came to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, because I don't want this to be ineffective. We mentioned this a while back, and it says, "For the message of the cross," in verse 18, "is foolishness to those who are perishing." Absolutely. I think this is about the rest of us, though. "But to us who are being saved," not saved, but being saved, it is a process. "But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God," right there. The cross is the power of God. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." It says, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" I think He definitely has. He makes all things new through the power of the cross to those who are being saved. I heard somebody on the radio, and they were talking about the second coming. And he said, "I don't think any of us give the second coming a second thought. Most of us probably don't. The second coming? What? I'm worried about trying to survive today." He who denies himself and picks up his cross and follows after me and gives his life for me shall live. To die is to live. Two more scripture references before we wrap up today. Turn past Corinthians a little bit to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. the power of His Word and the power of His cross. When we slow down to think of the effect, and we think, you know, even if life is good for us, and we think, hey, life's pretty good. I don't have a whole lot of problems. Even in that state, when you slow down and you think about the transforming power of the cross, and you think, man, life is good, but how much more is there still to be had? Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. This is a lot of words, but try and follow me here. In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. Let me stop right there. What they're talking about in the Old Testament, they had the physical circumcision of the Jews, of the Jewish males. But with the coming of Christ and His new covenant, it was a spiritual circumcision. And that's what He's talking about, circumcision without hands. It's a spiritual circumcision where He removed the sin from man. Took the sin from us and removed that. He didn't have to use His hands. It's spiritual circumcision. So that's what a lot of times people are like, that's a whole bunch of words and I don't get it and don't fully understand those words. In verse 13 it says, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. Okay, so the Old Testament, they had all these laws and rules and this and written stuff that made you feel guilty for the sins you've committed. Many of you are still carrying around that guilt for past sins, either your own sins or sins of other people against you. But somehow you are still carrying around the weight of that. I feel guilty. I feel condemned because of what I've done or because of what someone has done to me. And we're going to give you an opportunity to be free of that at the end of service today. When the new covenant came, all that handwritten, those rules, that mumbo jumbo that kept you convicted, or excuse me, kept you condemned and feeling guilty, He washed that away. In the middle of verse 14 it says, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. This cross has several nails and it's had several in it over the years. And we've told this story a few times, and I know that at Ground Zero with Andrew and Chelsea, many of them have put things on here, things they wanted to give up, things that they wanted to be forgiven of. Over the years when Eric and I were over there, same things you would like to have restored. And we took it, and we nailed it to the cross. Because when Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, that's what He did. He took it from us. And He nailed it to the cross, and that's where it needs to stay. Our individual sins have been taken from us when He was nailed to the cross. We don't have to nail things on there anymore. He has done it for us. Now we can, is an act to give those things up. But we have to stop condemning ourselves for our past. And we have to stop condemning ourselves for what someone has done to us in the past if we're carrying the guilt that, well, I shouldn't have done this, and it made someone else do something to me. We we began this a few weeks back in Revelation. And I said, man, the beginning of the year, we're going to Revelation. And a couple people went, whoops, going to Revelation. Well, that's where we're going again. Let's turn to Revelation 3 as we wind this series up on He Makes All Things New. Revelation chapter 3. If you're not familiar with the Bible, it's the last book in it. If you get to the index, just go back a few pages. But it's the last book in the Bible. It's the end. Revelation 3, verse 8. And it says, I know your works. And it says, see, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Great, what does that mean? Verse 9. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on earth. But it has that warning in verse 11. It says, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You see, all our works will go through a fire at the end. And it says, do not let anyone take your crown. We've got to hold on to the things that we do. When we confess Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, young people, when you do that in your schools and with your friends and even with adults and sometimes in some situations with your family, know that that is being recorded when you stand fast in your faith. And it says, do not let anyone take that from you. Do not let them take that crown from you. The band's going to go ahead and come on up here. We're going to sing at the end of service here. We're going to have an opportunity to praise and worship God. But we're also going to have an opportunity to ask God to forgive us. But I'm going to finish with another scripture before we get there. And I'm going to finish where we started 3 weeks ago. And when we go through this stuff, we know that our works will go through the fire for testing. Gold, when it goes through there, is purified. But all the other stuff, the hay and the grass, all that stuff, it will burn up. Overcomers, listen carefully, overcomers will have a special place. They will have a special place. We have to focus. We have to focus on the second coming. Our second life. And we get so consumed with this life. This life should be consumed with thinking of the second life that comes afterwards. Those of you going through things, those of you that have been through things, those of you that have sat in the same things for a while, know that overcomers will have a special place in His kingdom. You have opportunity to overcome anything you're going through. Yeah, in all honesty, I haven't had to overcome a whole lot. And I feel like my life has been pretty good. But just like you, I've had to overcome sin at different points in my life. But what I don't want is people in this church coming in, dragging a weight behind them, and walking out dragging that same weight behind them. Revelation chapter 21, where we began. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done, for I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall," not may, but shall, "inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I am the beginning and the end. I am all things in between, says the Lord." I want you to just sit in your seats and sing this song with us. I want you to think about where you are in your relationship with Christ. We'll get to a point where you can respond to God's message, or God's message to you. He may say it to you, but not you. He may say it to you, but not you. It may be for you and not your spouse. It may be for the adult or the parent, not the child. It may be for the child and not the parent. This is about what God is saying to you today. Just sit in your seats and sing this where you are, please. With him, though, even though you're sitting. 'Cause
Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, so I will rise when he calls my
time that Jesus Christ makes all things new. No matter where you are, no matter what you've been through, He makes all things new. This is your opportunity today to respond to this message that He makes all things new. It's time for you to come respond to Jesus Christ. Would you come forward if you're struggling with things you need to let go? Would our prayer warriors come forward at this time? Guys, I do not want you to walk out of this building carrying the same baggage. I don't care how many years you've been in church. If God is calling you to respond, it is time to get up out of your seat and come forward and respond. If you cannot make it out of your seat, will you raise your hand so that we can come to you where you are? Allow God to work today through His words. Again, this is time for God to work in your life. If you've dealt with financial issues, if you've dealt with addictions in the past, if you've dealt with health issues, if you're dealing with relationship issues, past, present, whatever it is, and you need healing, if you need Him to make all things new today, it's a game changer today. Belief is one thing, but allowing the power of the cross to work in your life is another thing. This is the beginning of a new step in your faith journey in your life today. Do not deny Jesus Christ that. Do not let the price of the cross go in vain today. Heavenly Father, today we just come before you today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we lift up those people today that are just gripped with fear, gripped with sorrow, gripped with anger. It may be bitterness or unforgiveness, Lord, that they would release those things if they cannot come forward and allow us to pray with them and for them. Lord, that they can do that where they stand or sit today, Lord. That nobody leaves this place in the same condition they came in with. Lord, we ask for this for freedom, not for anything else. To those being saved, the power of the cross is so important. Heavenly Father, hear us today where we are. Hear us where we are today. Meet us where we are today, Lord, as a church, as individuals, as shepherds, as servants, as attenders, Lord. Meet us where we are today. Free these people today, Lord. You have come so that we may be free. Your word is freedom to us today.
You make me new. You are making me new.
Heavenly Father, we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue in a spirit of prayer here. You are dismissed today.